This is Bob Fetrakis with The Other Side of the News, brought to you by thefreepress.org. WCRS Community Radio 98.3 and 102.1.
This is Bob Fetrakis bringing you The Other Side of the News. We're taping this the day before Martin Luther King Day, and if you hear this, I don't know if it'll be on the air prior to that, but maybe you can go to the podcast or go to the site itself. But we're having a hearing at 18th and Brighton on Martin Luther King Day, 18th and Brighton, and we'll be taking public testimony on people involved with excessive use of police force. So if you've been maced, beaten, shot, come to the first AME Zion Church at 18th and Brighton Road on January 19th, Martin Luther King Day. We'll have a court reporter there. You'll be sworn in, or you can sign and execute an affidavit under oath to record your encounter with the police. Well, you're going to want to pick up the Free Press, the January 2015 issue, which is the focus of this show. A lot of good stuff in there, including some good cartoons. There's a classic Matt Boers on page 3, pointing out the absurdity that the police in New York City, in order to show the mayor that he was bad for criticizing them, had a slowdown where they weren't arresting citizens as they normally were. And he pointed out that if you're not arresting citizens for selling Lucy's, right, single cigarettes, then you're not killing people like Eric Gardner in that situation. So often the best policing is the least policing, particularly when it comes to nonviolent crimes. So make sure you check that out in the January issue of the Free Press. I might also note that we're going twice monthly in February and March. We're going to see if we can make it as a twice monthly publication. And the Free Press itself, the Columbus Free Press, is celebrating its 45th year. A little of that history for readers. I've been involved with the Free Press since 1990. In 1992, I took over as co-publisher. I've been editing it since 1993, but existed prior to that, prior when I was up in Detroit in graduate school. The Free Press was already well-established. In fact, it was formed in October of 1970, in response to the Kent State shootings, the famed mantra of "Four Dead in Ohio" by Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. That happened, of course, on May 4th, 1970. That fall, student activists in the peace movement and for human liberation founded the Columbus Free Press. And since the mid-80s, 1986, it's been published by the Columbus Institute for Contemporary Journalism, a 501c3. I've returned to a column that I used to do in the Free Press, but originated in the late 1990s, 1997 to 2002, called Bob Bites Back. And that's me, Dr. Bob Fetrakis. And originally, Bob Bites Back appeared in the Columbus Alive. But I touch on many issues in this first column. Number one, Obama suddenly has become a progressive president. All those things we elected him to do in 2008, his supporters elected him to do in 2012, now suddenly he's going to veto the Keystone Pipeline. He's open trade with Cuba. He's calling for free community college education. All of that should have been his original agenda. I'm just hoping before he leaves office, he will in fact free Leonard Peltier. That's my request while he's doing these progressive things. So instead of moderating in heading to the center to deal with people like John Boehner and Mitch McConnell, he's actually standing up for the principles he was elected on. So thank you, Mr. President. A little late, but I guess never better late than never in that situation. And speaking of John Boehner, John Boehner, of course, was busy saying some of the most bizarre things in recent history, claiming that the man who was literally insane from Ohio, who supposedly was going to kill John Boehner, that man was only stopped by the secret court's FISA. But he was posting stuff online. And as the guy's father pointed out, is that he had no capacity to do any of this. So it's interesting how you take a man who's literally insane or mentally ill, and I use insane in the terms of the insanity defense. There's an actual defense, of course, that you don't know right from wrong, and that's why I'm using the term insane, because I don't think this man could be convicted. He was not in his right mind. But you take a man who is legally insane and clearly has some form of mental illness, and you claim that this is the justification for the largest surveillance state in human history. So that's what John Boehner is about. When questioned by the press, he seemed to be unaware that this stuff didn't have to come in through a secret sneak and peek in violation of somebody's Fourth Amendment right, that the guy was openly saying these things. So how in the hell FISA got involved in John Boehner's mind is a puzzle to all of us. And again, FISA is those secret federal surveillance courts that came about in a bill passed during the Clinton years. All right, and it looks like we're about to be Gintherized. Andy Ginther appears to be the anointed one, right? The mayor, Michael Coleman, mayor for life, should he have chosen to do so, decided for whatever reason, some speculate because he could no longer deliver for the downtown elite. Remember the title of a Free Press cover story last year, second defeat for the downtown elite. Remember he pushed the levy, the school levy, the 17% increase, despite a massive scandal in the school district, and also, right, the third zoo. In both cases, overwhelmingly, the people of Columbus turned him down, despite campaigns that spent millions of dollars versus citizens who spent a few thousand. The mayor could not capitalize and make the downtown developers happy. So many were stunned, but immediately they turned to that famed individual, Andy Ginther, the city council president. Ambition, always in search of a higher position, who's gone out of his way to get himself appointed, right? He was appointed to the school board and has emerged. Even the Columbus Dispatch has done great reporting in this area, pointing out that it was Ginther, when he was on that school board, who helped lead the cover-up when two whistleblowers went to him saying they were cooking the books over at the data center. Ginther leaped into action and forced out the internal auditor that was working to uncover these crimes. Remember, Gene Harris last week was sentenced, dereliction of duty, $750 fine and no jail time. I think she should have spent a few days in jail. You know, I would have liked to have seen some jail time, because she sentenced many of her students, many of these students who she allowed her administrators to D-up, to give bogus grades, to pass when they were illiterate and didn't do their schoolwork and didn't master the subjects. Many of them will probably go on to spend a little time in jail, maybe a good weekend or week or month in jail for Gene Harris would have given her cause for reflection. And maybe she could have met some of the students she doomed to the school-to-prison pipeline by allowing the rigging of data. But we shouldn't really Gintherize Columbus. Here's one thing we might want to look at. In the past, Ginther's been promoted in this way. Somebody resigns from the school board. Andy Ginther gets appointed so he can run to retain that seat as an incumbent. Somebody steps down from the city council so he gets appointed so he can run as an incumbent for city council. And the way he's run as city council is you have forced people to resign early. You appoint essentially non-entities that nobody has ever heard of. The new woman, I was at the Near East Area Commission, and people were like, who? I think her name rhymes with Liza. It's Jiza. Who knows? She came out of the city attorney's office. She's 31. But that's the Ginther model. Find people, appoint them so they can run as incumbents. So I wouldn't be surprised, because fundamentally, Michael Komen and Andy Ginther are contemptuous of a democratic process. I wouldn't be surprised if Michael Komen actually resigns early so Andy can once again advance his career by stepping up and being appointed the mayor. Again, they have a political machine. They don't believe in a democratic process. They refuse to have a ward system. They like to concentrate the money with the mayor and the city council president, who is Andy Ginther, and they like to hoard that money and keep complete control. It is a modern, high-tech machine, very similar to Tammany Hall in the old days. Okay, so the Buckeyes won. Let's congratulate them. Interesting game. I watched it. I'm a football fan. But Cardale Jones, on December 31st, 2014, made the front page of the New York Times when they brought up his old tweet. You remember originally he said, why should we have to go to class if we've come here to play football? Well, we ain't come to play school. Classes are pointless. Maybe that's Cardale Jones calling. So let me put that on silence. But to his credit, he didn't come out early. He had a press conference, and after meeting with his minister and going back to his own hometown, he went on how important an education was. So congratulations, Cardale Jones, for promoting education. Other interesting things in the Free Press issue this month of January. A great quote on the question, on the article, dealing with Citizens United versus the Federal Election Commission. And again, let me remind you, you're listening to WCRS Community Radio 98.3 and 102.1. So there's a quote from Justice Hugo Black that goes with the Citizens United article. And in that article, let me read you the quote here. Hugo Black, the Supreme Court Justice, commented on the cases in this court in which the 14th Amendment was applied during the first 50 years after its adoption. Less than one half of 1% invoked it in protection of the Negro race, and more than 50% asked that its benefits be extended to corporations. So this was the 14th Amendment passed in the aftermath of the Civil War. 50 years later, when Hugo Black is writing again in the 1920s, he points out that the Equal Protection Clause created after the Civil War to guarantee that African Americans had equal rights is that the people using it were lawyers that represented non-human vampire-type creatures known as corporations, blood-sucking entities that don't really exist. Remember the first day in law school, if you take a class on corporations, the professors will tell you that a corporation is a legal fiction. So what happens? High-paid lawyers for non-human entities, unnatural citizens, as they're called under law, blood-sucking entities, came forward and said, we need equal protection with flesh and blood human beings. So in that first 50 years after the Civil War, equal protection was not extended to African Americans. It was extended to large corporations that dominate our society. So, Citizens United, again, that's after that famous case, which began in 2009 with a 5-4 court ruling where it was ruled that corporations can give unlimited money if they act, quote, independently, quote, of candidates, and they may be able to give money directly from their billion-dollar corporate treasuries. So corporations were granted the right, and it establishes two principles, or reestablishes one. Corporations are people. They're not. And money is free speech. We are the only society that doesn't see free speech as actual speech, but equates money and allows non-human entities designed to maximize profit at all cost as a requirement of their existence. Their fiduciary duty, if you're a board member, is to maximize your profit. If you have to move all of your production to communist China or an authoritarian state, you will. And they're saying these are the people that really deserve protection under equal protection. The corporate entities say stop. Stop discriminating against legal fictions. I believe that flesh and blood human beings should be valued over these legal fiction. So make sure you read the article in the Free Press. It does. It's written by Sandy Bozzini. Does a great job of looking at the Citizens United case. And also there's going to be a forum, the fifth anniversary of Citizens United, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. the effects of corporate personhood on Central Ohio will be debated. Sponsored by Move to Amend. It'll be on Wednesday, January 21st from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. And let me break that down to you. From 11 to 11:30, there's a meeting at Progress Ohio. That's where people are gathering, 172 East State Street, 6th floor, to organize for an outdoor awareness march from 11:30 to 12:45. There'll be a march and drive into the downtown area to raise awareness of the negative consequences of Citizens United versus FEC in challenging corporate personhood and supporting the campaign to amend the U.S. Constitution to say that corporations are not people and money is not free speech. So, 1 o'clock, you return to Progress, Ohio. There'll be hot cocoa and cake. Sounds good. Informal discussion, 1:30. There'll be a speaker's forum. And again, I've got the privilege of participating in that 1:30 forum. Michael Greenman will be there with the Interfaith Caucus to talk about the impact of Citizens United versus the FEC on faith. The broader question of freedom of religion and the role of the religious communities in rolling back these corporate giants. John Beard will be there, Columbus Compact, who is on the board that helps put out the Free Press, and he'll talk about the public financing of the nationwide arena. Very important how these corporations get these $250 million bailouts from tax money. Also, Carolyn Harding with the City of Columbus Bill of Rights organization will be talking about the need for citizens in Columbus to establish a Bill of Rights to protect our air and water. And again, why fracking is bad. And finally, I'll be talking about corporations and the local media. One of the reasons I do media on this station, it's community owned. WCRS, it's a privilege to be bringing you the other side of the news. Again, let me remind you, if you hear this before January 19th at 12 noon, make sure you come out if you've been a victim of excessive use of force by police officers in Columbus. You got a chance to testify under oath or sign an affidavit documenting your abuse at the hands of the police. Also, a good article assessing how, in fact, the money is down from the gambling casino in town. And hence, it's going to take longer and longer to pay off the arena. The citizens five times have said we didn't want to put our public money into an arena. An arena should be financed by private interest. But the mayor has not listened. The city council has not listened. So essentially, the Columbus Free Press has done an analysis of how we now have to pay for the arena, but we don't own it. We don't make the money off it. We don't make the profit, any profit from the Blue Jackets, any money from the arena. We get stuck with all the bills. We have to pay to maintain it, pay to operate it, and we allow the private entities to suck all the profit out. Once again, what have they done? Of course, they believe in socializing all the losses. Hi, taxpayers of Columbus who said no to public finances, you get stuck with all the losses, the operating cost, the maintenance cost. And what are we going to do? For the richest family, Pizzuti, Galbraith, Crane, and the Wolves who own the Dispatch, they'll get all the profit from the casino money. Will guarantee them $250 million and nationwide, which has the arena in its name, we'll make sure that they don't absorb any loss. That's not capitalism. That's state welfare. All right, and finally, in the cover issue, the cover story in the Free Press, Black Lives Matter, the reverse of the civil rights movement. I was down the rebirth of the civil rights movement. I was down at City Hall, and they were debating a Free Press article which showed that we were, in fact, number two in per capita shooting in Columbus, Ohio. Now, they've been calling into questions by this. I mean, assistant safety director, the police chief, city council people, whether Columbus could rate so high. Let me tell you, those numbers were from 2011 by a man named Jim Fisher, who is a former FBI agent and criminal justice professor. What he did was to search all of the media sources for shooting, and the city that came out number two in 2011 was Columbus, Ohio. In fact, pointed out in his stats, Columbus, Ohio, for every 100,000 people in Columbus and every 100,000 people in New York, well, it comes out this way. We shoot one for every 100,000 people in Columbus. In New York, they shoot one person per every million people. We shoot 10 times per capita the amount of people than does New York City. Our police are 10 times more trigger happy than New York City. And that's what the city of Columbus doesn't want to deal with, because then it would have to grow up and have a civilian review board with subpoena power that could look at these police shootings. You know, right now they say, well, it goes to the grand jury. Well, and before that, it goes to the Internal Affairs Bureau. Internal Affairs Bureau, that's cops investigating cops. And you know what they say? Virtually all shootings are justified. If you had 20 witnesses that said the cop shot him for no reason, he had no weapon, and you had the cop saying, yeah, he had a gun, he hit the ground, and I found it 100 feet away, they would say the 20 witnesses are all liars, and the cop's word is sacred. And then the prosecutor, well, he brings it to a grand jury, right? But what does he bring? He works every day with the police. He's the prosecutor, and he needs that Fraternal Order of Police endorsement to get elected. There is an inherent conflict of interest. They're on the same side. They have a symbiotic relationship. What is needed is an independent civilian review board with subpoena power. The system as it now exists is rigged for the rogue cops that are doing these shooting. So keep that in mind. And it was pointed out in 2013, Columbus police actually shot more people than when they were number two in the nation. The shootings went up from 14 shootings with 8 killed to 22 shootings with 7 killed. So Columbus historically high in the shooting of its citizens. So keep that in mind. And again, make sure you pick up the Columbus Free Press. This is Dr. Bob Fitrakis, editor of the Free Press, bringing you the other side of the news.